She's not.
She's not used to New York.
Or maybe conservatory quality jazz is played in Washington. Maybe, you know, you come in on the person.
I've been to Pacifica meetings, like board meetings in other cities and stuff, and they have like all these rules, like no one will make a personal attack and no one will speak out of turn. And no one. And I always used to say, if these guys ever came to New York, they'd be apoplectic. And yeah. They are apoplectic. They don't understand the city. And I don't understand how they feel they'll ever be able to control the station.
Well, you know, Howard Stern's manager will come on in on him, but Grandpa is a serious...
That's part of the act.
It may be part of his act, but it's not part of Grandpa's act. Grandpa is a serious actor, for crying out loud.
Did you see the biography on him?
No, I didn't. I heard about it.
Yeah, I saw it.
It's
huge.
We should try to get a copy of it and like run the soundtrack of it. It's really inspiring.
But I think overall, coming back to the main issue, I think it would be a good idea to for all folks involved to start like calming down all the rhetoric. Maybe I think the rhetoric is getting out of control, and I think it's time to find we need a magical goddess of unity somewhere. I don't know who's going to be that.
We need
person.
A common goal.
What was that?
Yeah.
Which is staying on the air and continuing
that's
to
a
do
good,
the work.
That's a line that's
well,
a familiar.
People
line.
Want to know what a magical goddess of unity is. Well, I actually have. Evidence.
Tape.
Yes, here it is.
Oh, goody.
Wait, hang on 1 second. This is the ode.
Lynn Chadwick by Carol Denny. It's strange, but it's nonetheless magic how Lynn Chadwick has lighted our way. When she gave us the best of her spirit, yes, she helped us at KPFA. She rekindled our sense of belonging, brought together the old and the young. When she shared her bright light, well, she helped us unite with her cops and her handcuffs and guns. Yes, her cops and her handcuffs and guns. We're all...
Being on both sides in my career of lower-level management. And
let me just take 1 second, Rainey, because I flipped the tape over, and I want to make sure we get this statement. Like, so I want to know, I want to make sure that everybody understands you're Randy Steele.
Mm-hmm.
And Randy, explain why you have, and I feel you do have the moral authority to speak on this issue with the certitude that you do.
On WBAI in New York.
On WBAI in New York.
Well, you know, there are so many instances as to why that may be, but I'll just sum them up as saying that I've been fired from jobs and I've resigned from jobs most of the time over principle, in much the same way I think the most recent example in commercial radio that I could cite is going on right now with Vinny Scalza leaving WNEW-FM. There are certain issues that certain things that are that I take responsibility for if I'm in a management position that if they're hateful, if they're trying to deny a class of individuals civil rights, usually these attacks come from far-right Christian zealots of the sort that nobody who listens to WBAI may even be able to fathom unless they listen to shortwave radio and hear these people for themselves. I've been in a situation where I've told the management of the station that I've been working for, this either stops or I won't have my name associated with it. And being a person of principle, I think that it's a very low tactic to go on the air and justify your positions some sort of a management crackdown and inducing all of this speculation of, is it Amy Goodman, is it Bernard White, who is it, or who it isn't. And it just strikes me as being one of yet another in a series of divide and conquer. And my feeling on it is, if you're going to cite someone in the way that Utrice did, then you damn well better be ready to stand up in public and say who you're talking about, and let the person then respond, whoever it is, to the charge, or else your charge has no validity and is only being used to further create disunity among the staff and among the supporters of the station. And that disunity, unfortunately, is going to result in massive listener-sponsored defections, which I think is exactly what anybody on the national board or whoever that wanted to sell the station for the $200 million or so dollars that it's worth would want. They would want, ultimately, that a Marathon fail, that the station not be able to pay for itself. Then they're ultimately justified in selling it. And what better way to do it than to engage in the Psychotica radio tactics?
Except, interestingly, what this radio station chose to do is, like, begin to play the Svengali tapes and lose track of this question altogether. Who is Svengali? Have you noticed how much that movie has been being aired?
Nobody even cares who it
is. Who
cares? It could be any one of a number of people.
Who is Svengali?
Right. There's a number of Svengalis here, and I'll tell you why. Because there's a lot of different people who are, you know, desperately afraid of losing a deal they've had. And
well, a lot of people would love to be a Svengali.
Yeah. I spoke to Utrecht today, actually, and I said, please back away from that, because it isn't one person. It's a coalition of accumulated grievances. And you know very well that that's what it is. It isn't one person.
And how did she respond to that?
She actually said she would think about it. And
I hope so.
And, you know, when someone is in the position that she's in of, you know, having to duck the slings and arrows about
200 people talking about her on the radio 24 hours a day. What kind of job is this?
You torture. You get backed up against the wall and you say a lot of things that you really shouldn't be held to.
I would say so.
And the sooner you back away from an extreme position, the sooner it's possible to make something like peace.
Right.
I've often fantasized in my lowest levels of thought of a commercial broadcaster of putting together a radio station that all, this would be a commercial station, the idea is to get the maximum amount of listeners possible, where all that the staff and the on-air staff would do would be to argue with each other and backstab each other and just, you know, like a professional wrestling.
Something else
like
they stole from us.
The airwaves.
Right.
And that
the blab rule on the original Atlantica, the prophecy, that was what Atlantica wanted.
What
the blab
the
rule. Just people talking about whether broadcasters spit into the microphones
right.
or what they do.
Talking about any nasty recounts in Florida.
Right.
There you go. Well, you know, there's plenty of reasons. I think that there's a problem in general where people seem to forget their own humanity and under attack and in the rough street world and the, you know, we get distance from our feelings, like the feelings we have for a loved one, someone we feel so dearly and deeply about. I mean, those are the good feelings, and we should try and find those feelings. And so many people maybe are deprived of that in their lives, and they've never really had an opportunity to love somebody or to be loved. And so they're without it, you know, and they don't really have that part of them. And somehow we have to help people, like, feel, like, some sort of compassion.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe out of that will come some understanding. I mean, I think that the Pacific...
And community and some morale boosting.
Yeah. I think one of the problems, you know, that we've had is that the idea that this is an internal problem and not to be discussed with the listeners, I think, is a bad idea. And I think that that's never going to fly.
And because it doesn't happen at other radio stations, it's the best advertisement for WBAI.
Right. It's the only one we have
in the world. I have seen.
I know the reason for it too.
And inevitably, our listenership expands.
Right.
After.
But if what you want, if you don't want the listenership to expand, if you want to control an asset. Is with as little trouble and expense as possible, then you don't want people talking about it on the air.
But
if you believe in WBAI and everything WBAI stood for 40 years, then you don't even think twice of such a thing. You wouldn't even consider some conception of not discussing things on the air.
I think there's, though, also something that needs to be pointed out at this stage of what's going on here, and it's a very telling comment on your Max Schmid tape that you were playing where he walks out of the studio and he says something very interesting if you listen closely. His comment is, I am so sick of this place. And the thing that worries me is that ultimately a large group of people who are pacifist-oriented, who are gentle human beings at heart, and have an agenda that they want to propose that they think is some way that society can be bettered, eventually this sort of infighting and tearing each other apart is going to take its tolls of the strongest and most politically committed individuals, and at some point beginning to happen now. As you mentioned, Paul, the rhetoric has to stop, the fighting has to stop, and there has to be a management that is willing to be able to take some and make some very tough decisions and make some very serious compromises in order for this irreplaceable jewel in the middle of the FM band in the most populous city probably in the world that is absolutely irreplaceable.
Well, why do you think it has to be some mental decision? Maybe it'll just come to its own conclusion.
Evolve to that point.
Because I think there are too many bruised feelings, and people will just go on fighting, if nothing more, out of their own defensiveness.
Maybe I say this too much, but when you said about making peace, you have to make peace with your enemies.
Exactly.
That's who you have to do it with. The people you've been fighting with. That's how you make peace. You make peace with them.
Well, maybe everyone.
Not with somebody else.
Forget.
But it has to go both ways, because a lot of it is, well, you know, Eutrice has to bend. She has to bend. She has to make the concessions, but a lot of concessions have to be made, a lot of strong things. It was not necessary for Bernard White to say, it's either me or her. I don't come back if she doesn't leave.
That's wrong.
That was an inflammatory thing to say.
Yes,
well,
that is
a dangerous and inflammatory thing to say.
When people have their emotions laid bare, they, as I said before about Eutrice, they say things, extreme things, because it's hard to back down. It's very
right. Well, it's making it, when you say things like that over and over again, I know, it does make it harder and harder to back down.
Right.
The more strong your language is, because the fact of the matter is, even if you apologize, even if it's done in the heat of battle, even if it's forgotten, it's never forgotten. The person who is said to will remember that for the rest of their lives, and they'll carry that in their heart about the person who said it for the rest of their lives, and it'll never go away. And it'll impact on their relationship and their relationship with other people for the rest of their lives. So to throw these slings and arrows are wounding, they're damaging, and they have a long-term impact. And we have to say, you know, is calling people a police informant, calling them a Svengali, refusing to negotiate, saying it's either me or them, or this is a takeover, the CIA, or the government is doing this, and this person is a sellout and a scab and a quisling. If we start using this technology and these terminologies, we're going to have nothing left pretty soon but a bunch of angry people who hate each other for years to come.
And a lot of listener subscribers that are key to the survival of the station that are going to be alienated, not donate money, and then ultimately that's the way the station will be lost.
I see the theme of this show is one where I'm hoping a silent majority of programmers and listeners are going to step forward and say it's time to put a lid on it, and it's time to come together and to negotiate. I think that, number one, Eutrice is here to stay. She's not going to leave, all right? Not anytime soon, and not because she decides to step down because of these attacks and slings. At the same time, I don't think that the listeners are going to be happy unless they get the type of programming they're accustomed to in the morning show, a political, revolutionary, radical message.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's the type of programming that is going to have to continue in the morning show.
Bring back Bernard White.
And unless these things, he's got to then step back from his, you know, uncompromising language.
Exactly.
You know, and for all I know, I mean, I'm told, you know, what are his plans exactly? What are Bernard's plans?
Well, you know, did you hear about what happened to Sharan?
No.
Right. No. No, what? She got fired. But what since then?
Some relative, I'm not sure.
I think it was her ex-husband.
Right. Was just killed in a traffic accident.
He's a police officer, I believe, in North Carolina or something.
I don't know, but she left it to see him,
right?
You know, so Sharan should be allowed back,
yeah,
and Bernard should be allowed back. Janice. And what's that?
These
Janice.
People have
oh,
long
Janice.
History.
Janice,
the
on the
what
phone?
Did you, yeah.
what do we say, Janet?
Janice.
Janice.
What's the story? Yeah, update us, Brother
Shire. Janice K. Bryant.
Yeah, that's Janice K. Bryant and a relative of hers who happened to be a highway police officer.
Geez, a North Carolina highway police officer who might have pulled me over and I would have said, you know, I know your ex-wife.
No, no. it was her cousin.
Her cousin?
Our uncle. It was our relationship. No, it wasn't her ex-husband.
And we also have the passing, you know, that here, the very sad passing of really a fine programmer here at WBAI.
Oh.
Just the other day, you know, it's
Chet Jackson.
Chet Jackson, and it's, you know, there's plenty of areas where we could get some unity going. You know, like we could come together in a lot of different places and a lot of different things that are happening. And I think that we should start looking for the opportunities to start coming together now. All right. And I think the smart people are searching around for those opportunities right now. And if we're all very smart, we're going to jump for them when they come. And it's time to move on. It's time to settle these things, but to settle them, not internally, we have to settle them with the listeners, but it's time to come to a settlement of sorts, some sort of settlement.
Based on the put you're on statement, I would say.
I heard that. Somebody
Peter
read that
Frank
the other
read
day.
That
yeah.
The other day. Yeah.
Right. I heard the Port Huron statement, which was the statement for unifying the left that SDS made in 1964 that really started the student movement in the 60s. And, you know, the Port Huron statement is a very general statement.
By Carl Oglesby and Tom Hayden.
Right, yippies and radical, yippies,
right.
Organizers and starters. And it was at a conference in Port Huron, Michigan, where all these students, leaders came together. And we need that kind of...
Among others.
And we need people to come together at that level. I don't profess to have all the answers. I don't know where that opportunity is. I'm grasping at straws. Maybe folks will see that opportunity, and if they're wise, they'll jump. You know, I have one show, 2.5. I mean, I love BAI. I couldn't live without it. My direct interest in the station isn't the same as maybe Brother Shine, who makes a living here, who works here, and is an engineer here, as well as a programmer.
Let me make this clear. A week, 2 weeks before Valerie was 2 weeks before Valerie was has left before Valerie left the station, and Sydney was placed into the interim ops director position. One of the things that Sydney demanded, if he took that job, is that I would be the person to take his place. So I don't want people to think that I am on staff and I've been on staff for this time. I've had some very large arguments and disagreements with our past general manager. My position has always been first not to allow Pacifica to come in. Second, that we needed to get rid of our then general manager. And what I am offended by is that people have put us in a position of choosing either or, and when I say that is, if you agree that Valerie should leave, some people were saying, oh, you must be in this particular camp. And I'm angry about that because I have friends that started to look at me funny. I have people, like you said, you know, we all come here from different positions.
I just want to say something. Mm-hmm. Tell you the truth, you began to look funny.
Yeah.
Because from being someone who had a smile, looked serious, you went around with this look of anguish on your face. Every time I saw you, it looked like there was a...
Good thing he did, though.
And this is the kind of thing I'm getting at when we're talking about the language, because this is hard to communicate to the listeners. But there's a lot of damage being done here because people are forming into camps, and then they're looking for traitors and quislings, and they're then launching into witch hunts. And I've seen left-wing witch hunts, and I've seen right-wing witch hunts, and both of them suck. Yeah. All right? Innocent people are killed and are injured and are hurt and are deprived of livelihoods by both.
Svengali hunts, they call it.
And people better get their act together, because pointing at somebody and saying, you support Utrice, we're not going to talk to you, who the hell do you think you are, we're going to boycott your show, we're going to call you, we're going to curse you, we're going to call you up and fill all your phone calls with hateful, angry, isn't going to get any change anywhere. And on the flip side, doing it on the flip side ain't going to help either.
It's losing sight of the prize, which is the maintenance of probably the only and certainly one of the most potent forces in broadcasting. Look what just happened today with Pataki on the Rockefeller
drug laws. It's also draining.
That wouldn't have happened without the AI.
What was that? What happened?
It's draining the fun out of something that should be a joy.
Yeah.
What happened? Randy, what happened?
Pataki today gave a big press conference and basically came out and said that the Rockefeller drug laws have to be amended because too many nonviolent people are going to prison. And certainly Randy Credico would be someone who was there and knows about this. But just on the previous program, on Robert Knight's program, he was on there saying, and I believe it, that WBAI was in the forefront of bringing the pressure and organizing people and Bernard White in the morning show especially.
But
it's
not a great monument.
And Robert Knight.
It's not a great monument to this fun, wonderful work for folks to then demonize people who disagree with them in the way that I've heard it and seen it done. That is not a great way to put a cap on a great job.
And it's not even a political disagreement. It's a personnel disagreement, and people are tearing each other apart by exactly what you said, going into these camps. And really, the truth is someplace in the middle of it. But everybody forms their opinions, and darn it, they stick with them even if the ship is already on the bottom of the ocean.
The part of the problem is that because this is not something that happened in a vacuum, this didn't happen yesterday or last week or last month or last year even. A lot of people have come to where they're at for different reasons. And so there's many truths, you know, and this is not going to sound, you know, a lot of people are not going to like this, but there's many truths. It's hurtful. But I agree with you, Paul, that we have to find a place to come together. But I think that part of that is that we go back to some of our standards. And our standards have been, if there isn't physical violence, there will be no bannings. You know, and that's really...
Maybe part of the problem was there was physical violence at times and they weren't banned, and then there's situations where there's no political physical violence and a person is...
Right.
Threats of violence. We were in situations where there were threats of violence, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, I was the victim of threats of violence, where Bob Fass was a victim of threats of violence, where Joni Moosey was a victim of threats of violence, and numerous other people were threatened with violence.
David Dozer twice.
David Dozer twice was threatened with violence.
Delphine Blue
was threatened with
all
violence.
All by the same person.
Right, by the same person. Right, whose name we shall not mention, but nothing was ever
Svengali.
Done.
Yeah,
nothing was ever done.
That's Svengali.
Well, part of that is that we have to look at our own house, you know. But saying that there's a couple of rooms inside of this house that are dysfunctioning, where the plumbing is not working properly, doesn't mean we condemn the whole house. And this house happens to be the shelter for a lot of us. I've said to you, Bob, you know, this is part of my lifeline, because instead of going to NA and AA meetings, I came to BAI.
And it did a lot better for you.
I have to tell you why I'm laughing.
You escaped the 12 steps that way.
When I first came to the station, we had a little brownstone house on 39th Street. And the first marathon, Kathy Dobkin suggested that we have barter, that people, it was like an early eBay, people who had odd items would call us and say, I have a 6-foot glass front credenza that I'll give to BAI, see what you can get for it, right? And we say, how much is it worth? And they'd say, I don't know, maybe $100. And so we'd say, for $100, you can get a credenza. You make arrangements to pick it up.
I remember
but there
those
were some
days.
Things that were brought to the station. And among them were a couple of anacondas, which we kept in the bathtub. In the, you know, it was, the station was formerly in a brownstone, so they had this little bathroom that we used, all the floors used, right? One bathroom, the both room, we called it, and it had a tub in it, and that's where they put the snakes. And after,
so,
and after the snakes were